Hey everybody, welcome to the unofficial pre-show for 10th Floor. I'm just waiting on Mom. I've been waiting on her for 15 minutes. She's on the way, but I felt like I should just come on and say hey everybody, so she'll be popping in whenever she's ready. But I thought I'd want to come in and say hi. Start reading the chat. Hang out with y'all. Hopefully you can hear me. Yeah. So we'll call this a test run. We'll call this the tech rehearsal. But it's not just me. Hi, Shannon, Michelle, Kelly, Jeannie, Sandra, Lola's mother, Este. Everybody here, happy St. Patrick's Day. Oh, handsome Matt. Kelly, you're always flirting with me. You're gonna have to come up to Canada someday. Good, I'm glad everybody can hear me. I'm gonna have to come up to Canada and hang out with Kelly. Have her take me out to dinner. Be a good time. Use her money instead of mine. Mine's limited. So yeah, I mean, I wasn't sure when we were gonna be doing this thing. So if you joined us at 9 a.m. for Days for Dummies, I said I am. I adjusted it one time, Kelly. That's it. No more. If you were here for Days for Dummies, I wasn't sure if this was going to be at 11, if it was going to be 2. Hello, Cindis. We're just waiting on Ma show up here. But clearly, 11 a.m. reached out to Ma. She said, "Let's just do it at 11. There's no reason to wait. It's not going to be any easier later." So that's where we're at. Did everybody watch this week? I hope we watched this week. It's really hard to not want to watch General Hospital this week. Oh, Sandra, that's so kind. Sandra says that I'm in Kat's generation. We're sometimes stretched thin, but we come through, and she does. She always has. My mother has always come through for me. I can't think of a time where she didn't. Oh, well, gosh, I just feel so blessed. I recognize and understand that's not the same for everybody else. Jenny? Who's Jenny, Kaiwan? You talking about me? But yeah, GA, just it's been an excellent week, Jeannie, getting us back on track. Did you guys watch? I hope you watched. It's been hard to not. I'll admit, sometimes getting through a soap is a little bit of a slog. But not this week. This week has been exciting. It's been punchy. Last week as well. I overheard some people talking about, oh man, I wish for longer scenes. These scenes are so short. But also at the same time, I think they're trying to keep the pace going, they're trying to make it seem exciting, like there's a lot of movement happening at one time, because there is. I like it. I'm looking forward to Ma to show up. Ma's just got to log right into this thing, and we can talk about it all, Spixie. Spixie on Monday and Tuesday. Hey, Pasolini. Hey, Stephanie. Hey, Sandra. Leanne. I mean, Elizabeth and Finn had an excellent week. Jagger, of course, surprised us all at the end of it all on Friday. Lots of new stuff happening. I think Thursday or Friday was the first day of the new era, the Molcorte era, officially underway, as they are now credited as the writers. Where is Trina? Asks Leanne. Trina is taking a break. Now, I don't know what Sydney what I'm sorry, Sydney Michaela, my goodness, that's the old one. I don't know what Tabiana Lee is up to. I don't know if she's on a planned break, a vacation, or if she's just enjoying the time in which her character isn't being featured. But as it stands right now, we're not really exploring any of Trina's perspective or where she's at in her life, because we pretty much have full focus of the show going on when it comes to the Jason return and sort of everything that's surrounding that. I know it, at the same time, we have TJ talking to Jordan about the baby. We have scenes between between Christina and Blaze. I recognize there's still things happening in the Quartermain house, but nothing from Trina. Last time we heard from Trina, I think she said she was stepping back. She was taking some time to collect herself. And when it comes down to it, that's just what you can assume she's doing, flipping through art pages, maybe going through some books, working at the gallery, and just getting her mind back right for her to step back in front of the cameras again and move forward with that, whatever next story there is for her, which could be any number of things now that we're looking down a brand new writing team. Everything that they set up for Trina is entirely possible. It's been swept off of the table. There could have been nothing set up for Trina, and now Corte and Mulcahy are making plans. Or not. I really can't say. But where is Trina? Well, the simple show, with the simple answer that the show has given us is she's chilling, taking a step back from most of her responsibilities to move forward in her life. Jeannie says Tabby's enjoying a break. He probably is. We have to keep in mind that these really are human beings, and in order to produce the show, even though we only see 37 minutes of it a day, these people are on set for hours upon hours upon hours. I know that we just had Remington Hoffman on from Days of Our Lives on this channel not too long ago, and he said it's nice because it's as close to a full-time job as you're going to get when it comes to being an actor, when it comes to the 9-to-5 life. But 9-to-5 is a bit of an exaggeration. These days lasts a long time. And so when you've been heavily featured like she has been, multiple days a week, big Greenland opportunity, lots of scenes with Spencer and Esme, big boat, you know, action sequence and all that kind of stuff, that takes a lot of time, takes a lot of energy. And I wouldn't be surprised if she was just enjoying a couple of weeks of not having to do stuff. But I don't know her personally, I can't say. Oh, goodness. Carolyn says, hi from New Jersey. A from California, Carolyn. Hit that thumbs up, says Kelly. Thank you so much, Kelly. I appreciate that. Everybody, yeah, hit that thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't. We're just killing time waiting for Mama to show up. She said she was booting her computer, and I guess it's just taking forever. Well, the last 2 weeks were only like a day, so, says Michelle, Trina's only been off screen for like a day of her life, and that's also very important as well. Not a whole lot of time has passed. When it comes down to it, any sort of development that's come up has been completely, really tied into the whole Jason is returning situation. Even Alexis wanting to return to law has been tied into the Jason situation. So unless we feel as though Trina's grief needs to be tied into Jason's return, we're probably just not going to see her very much. Let's see. Leanne also says, and that doesn't account for the hours prepping and reading scripts, which is a big part of their day as well. You know, they meet with each other in their dressing rooms and they go over their scripts and they run lines and they rehearse a little bit because they really only have one shot at doing it. And I don't know if you have any experience, listeners, doing any sort of performing in front of an audience, but it, or even performing, just period. Technically, it's in front of the audience, if you consider the camera the audience. In any case, it takes a whole heck of a lot of energy. It leaves you mentally and physically drained. Even me, I have to take like an hour after the podcast of not just talking to anybody afterward, just because it does take drive, focus, mental fortitude, and energy. And so it's pretty draining. So awesome for her if she's, you know, taking some time, enjoying herself as the show focuses on other areas of this ensemble cast. Blink says, I saw Patrick's name as a writer on Friday. Let's go GH. And that's absolutely right. As I said a little bit earlier, the Mulcahy era has started. Chris and Dan are no longer credited as the head writers of General Hospital, as we are now recognizing the new ones. From my limited understanding, from my minor plugged-in nature that I have from being on this podcast, I have seen that, you know, any number of percentages have been thrown out as to what it is that the new writers were in control of versus what they were continuing on with the old writers. Anywhere from 50%, 80% of the content is new. When it comes to the direction of the stories, I really can't say anything other than the Jason return has been any massively different than what Chris and Dan might have planned out. But the content within is where the quality lies, folks. It is the actual lines, the words that these characters are saying, the little elements of history, the little characterization points that they put in, like, when Jocelyn was talking to Nina, and Nina was worried that Sonny had read the newspaper and saw the article about Diane in there, about him in there. And Jocelyn goes, I don't know, Dex, have you ever seen Sonny read a newspaper? That sort of stuff. Those little bits of character, those little bits of just nuanced minor detail really change a lot. Makes it feel much more real. Makes these relationships seem much more informed and natural and logical. And I've really been enjoying the content of the lines that have been coming out of the characters' mouths. Michelle says, I used to do extra work. We used to call it hurry up and wait work. Well, then you know. You sit around and you wait. Waiting can also be pretty draining. Mentally draining. And then you hurry. You work very hard in spurts of time. It's like a sprint. A bunch of sprints throughout the day. And by the time you're done, you are spent. Hello from the cloudy Gulf Coast. Hey, Annette. Hello from California. Los Angeles. Happy Sunday, says Rochelle. Thumbs up to everyone, says Sandra. Thank you, Sandra, for helping everybody. Remember to like the video and subscribe to the channel if you haven't. While we're continuing to wait for my mom to show up. No updates from her yet, but that's all right. She'll be here eventually. but if it wasn't for her. We're waiting on her. I live from the cloudy Gulf Coast. I'm upset Molly doesn't have her own baby. Oh, I'm sorry, Annette. I don't know what to say on that one. Maybe Christina will now go back to being 4 weeks pregnant. I doubt it. I think that 14 weeks was because the new writers decided when Christina is going to be having her baby here in the calendar year in the upcoming months. And so we decided 14 weeks, 3 months or so, 2 months, 3 months, 4, 8, 12. So a little bit over 3 months in her second trimester, getting ready to wear that belly here any moment. She's, I think they just decided when, like, this is going to be an August baby or something like that. And so that's why they decided 14. Matt, remind mom when she gets here that Maxie is in the same Goodwill sweater. I'm sure she noticed. There's no way that she didn't notice, everybody. There's no way. I've read rumors that Molly dies. Here's the thing. I don't think that there is enough finalized plans released or leaked out there to the world yet for us to know exactly who may or may not be dying. I think that we are going to see a bit of a cast shift, not in that, oh, we don't like you or we don't see any value in your character, just in the directions that the new writers have in mind with where they want to see these characters might be by the end of the year or the stories that they might be involved in by the end of the year. I think that we're starting to see that a little bit with Marshall. I think that we are racing to the end of the story that Chris and Dan started when it came to his misdiagnosis, because his psychologist is dead. Kevin has given him all the answers, tell him exactly why. And as understood this week, as pointed out to me by followers on Twitter, Robert Gossett looks like he is now off contract and is now a recurring character rather than a contracted star on General Hospital. So we'll see where that goes. It looks like the writing on the wall seems as though it looks like Marshall may or may not be on his way out. Going down to recurring doesn't mean you're on your way out. Lois went down to recurring, and she's fine. She's still on the show. Valentine, he's always been recurring. Ned, he's recurring. So I don't think any sort of, like, Robert Gossett demotion is necessarily indicative of him leaving the show entirely. But, hey, Mother's here.
I finally got off the elevator.
Look at that. We got Grandpa's thumb. We got some grandkids in the back.
Oh, finally.
Finally. Hi, Ellie.
Hell yeah, I was about to give up.
How's it going, Ellie?
Oh, thank you, baby. Thank you, IT guy on
public line. Thanks, IT guy on public line.
Yeah, the IT guy. Thank you, Grandpa Dad, or whatever his name is. For the help. Was that
Steven? All right, guys, you're going to have to go find something to do. Go watch a movie over there or whatever, Elle. Okay? You have to get along, baby.
Well, I was just hanging out with the chat, Ma. We were killing time waiting for you to show up.
Well, I was about to give up.
I appreciate you. I'm not.
You know what? Xfinity is janky.
Oh, it was an internet problem.
Yes.
All right. Well, I was like, okay, I'm going to continue to do this for like another 10 minutes before I text Angela.
Yeah, well, I was starting to eat. I don't know. It's been slow and weird the last 3 or 4 days.
It's been, but was it recently stormy? A couple weeks ago.
Not
within enough time for this to affect it.
I tell you what, there's been some fools out in front of the neighborhood in the street, fooling around doing stuff. You know, with cable and stuff.
So there's some crews working in the area.
I think there's some crews working in the area, and I think they're messing it up.
Got it.
Not making it better.
Apparently,
they're not making it better.
Got it. Okay. Well, welcome. I'm glad that you made it. The chat is excited to see you.
I'm a little stressed out, but I'm here.
No, it's all right. You relax. Goose Schwabba or whatever from that anger management movie. Did you see Adam Sandler, I think, and Jack Nicholson were in this movie called Anger Management, in which Jack Nicholson.
I do remember that movie. Yeah. I should rewatch that.
Actually, I thought it was kind of funny. I feel like it might have been Jack Nicholson's last, like, great comedy, you know, or like good comedy. He doesn't retired. Do much anymore, so.
No, he retired.
Yeah, yeah.
Jack Nicholson retired from that.
What was it? Was it Departed? I think The Departed might have been his final movie.
Probably.
Or at least the final one with any notoriety. Anyway, yeah. Kelly says, the IT guy, a.k.a. Matt's dad, fixed Mama's internet.
It's been, like I said, it's been terrible.
Oh, goodness. Stephanie says hi. Kelly, of course, says hello. We got a full chat here. I'm sure more is going to pop up now that you're here. You're far more popular than I am.
Oh, my goodness. It's not true. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Did you see that human worm squirming behind you?
I know. I know. There's a little worm back there. I saw her.
Eagle-eyed viewers. Okay. Eagle-eyed viewers. Anyway, so we were talking about stuff. We were talking about Robert Gossett when you were logging in. Because he's off contract. He's now recurring.
Oh, okay.
And then also they clearly have accelerated his misdiagnosis storyline to the end. And so the speculation is Marshall on his way out? Or are we just moving in a different direction when it comes to the Ashford family?
Well, I kind of hope not. I hope Robert's not going to be off the show. I like Marshall.
I like Marshall too.
I hope, you know, going to recurring doesn't mean you're off the show. It just means you're not guaranteed a certain amount of episodes, right?
You just don't have a guarantee, you know? It just means we're going to use you when there's room, when it makes sense, when it supports it, when the schedule matches. But that doesn't, I was going over the list, you know, Valentine's, he's recurring. Ned, he's recurring.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else. Oh, Lois was on contract, and now she's recurring, and clearly she's not going anywhere. So that doesn't mean that you're going anywhere. It just means your guarantee is gone.
Yeah, and so, there's a lot of recurring people on there. Not just those.
There's a mess ton of recurring.
A mess, right?
Yeah, I'm
more
sure
recurring than not.
I would imagine there's more recurring actors on the show than contracted ones. The contracted ones would be like Nina and Carly, Sunny. I can't even say Olivia is. I don't know, you know, because she's on regularly, but she's not always on.
Right.
You know, so yeah. I can't even say.
I'm sure Taviana is the contract, right?
Oh, 1,000%. And that's another actor that was brought up because the big question is, hey, where's Trina right now? And the answer is hanging out in the in her room, collecting herself as the show focuses on Jason. Yeah. And then we had somebody point out in the chat as well that really over the last 2 weeks of GH, only like a day has passed. It was like a night into the morning.
Yes.
And so really like the timeline of events inside General Hospital while taking 10 of our days is not a big stretch of time for them. So really wherever Trina was mentally 2 weeks ago is pretty much where she's going to be now because only 8 hours has passed.
Right.
And that's something that's kind of hard to digest when you're watching the show because so much of our time passes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get it. I get the want and the desire.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the same time, it's a TV show with other characters.
And we all know that the cast is a little fat.
It's a little fat. And if don't come here for the news, folks. I don't know. But if the quick wrap up of the misdiagnosis and the off contract status of Robert Gossett is a suggestion that maybe that actor is leaving, then it's entirely possible that we might see more exits that follow, followed by entries of new characters, because as of Thursday or Friday this week, we have the new head writers as being credited.
Yes.
So it is now 100% in their hands. Every aspect of the show that you see now has been planned, developed, written, approved, and all of that by the new creative regime of General Hospital. And it's not just the writers, it's also ABC itself. Mm-hmm. From my understanding, my limited understanding, Michael Fairman will probably know way more about this than I do. But from my understanding, Nathan Varney, who is the ABC executive,
okay,
for that oversees like the Conners and General Hospital and is just like the network liaison,
mm-hmm,
for those shows, apparently is now folded a little bit more into the fabric of General Hospital when it comes to the creative inspiration of stories. That doesn't mean he's calling the shots. That doesn't mean he's the ground zero of ideas. But the network getting wind of what the plans of GHR seem to be a little bit earlier in the process, mm-hmm, now, which means that it opens up all kinds of opportunities for new things to be explored, new investments from ABC because they're getting involved a little earlier. You know, it's just a wide open door of exciting new possibilities.
Hi.
It is. They're not wearing green, Mother.
What?
Are they wearing green?
The kids?
Yeah.
They chose not to.
Oh, did you pinch them?
Not yet. I want to pinch their heads off if they don't stop biting.
Oh, well, hey, kids, get along. All right, you need to be responsible like Danny and Jake.
Well, about the you know, head, mm-hmm, head writer thing, you know, there's, of course, if you're going to have a whole you know, pretty much a shakeup, right, a writing shakeup there.
Yeah
so there's gonna, it's not gonna feel or look the same. There's going to be some changes.
Yeah. So brand new head writers, you know, brand new ideas, brand new thoughts on the characters. And when it comes down to it, you know, Elizabeth Corte, she's been a writer on General Hospital for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's seen as a high-ranking historian. And then yes. I think that the contributions like this, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier before you popped on, was, mm-hmm, Jocelyn's line about Sunny reading newspapers. Where she's like, Dex, have you ever seen him read news? No, I'm not. I think he gets his news from other sources, you know, like people tell him the news, essentially, is what he was talking about. And just those little tiny little characterizations, those little aspects of tiny things, little specks touches upon.
Get the door, babies! Okay, love.
Touches upon old things, because apparently, I don't know if you knew this, Ma, but apparently, mm-hmm, Sonny Corinthos reads at an eighth grade level. He's not the most educated man out there.
Well, yeah.
And it's been a part of the show. Apparently, it's been said, specifically stated, worked into storylines that he's not illiterate, but he is not the strongest reader.
Okay. I don't recall that.
He doesn't. I don't know. Listen, they covered a lot of ground in the last 25, 30 years, right?
Yeah.
So by just baking in just that tiny little thing, not only did it create a fun little, just fun, light moment for them to play off of together, it's also kind of rooted in a little bit of, like, deep characterization that we haven't had over the, mm-hmm, last couple of years, really. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, I like it. I was nerding out over it. I thought it was neat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be, you know, Elizabeth Corte's influence, just knowing these characters so well.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
I guess this Patrick Mulcahy guy is just almost a legend in his own right, if not a legend and soap creation.
Yeah, because he's been a soap writer forever, right?
Yeah, and so they were saying, I was seeing on Twitter, because Twitter's been a much nicer place. Lately? Now.
Oh, good.
For now. We'll see. But they were talking about how Mulcahy is really good at coming up with excuses for villainy. Like soapy excuses for villainy, like I'm being poisoned by my hip replacement.
All right, you guys, let me tell you a little bit about that, okay? Because I have a little bit of experience with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, you know, Daddy T has an artificial hip.
Mm.
Okay?
I didn't know that.
And they did a blood test on him.
Yeah.
He's had an artificial hip for a long time since,
yeah, well, I know.
Since his 40s.
I remember.
They did a blood test on him a few years later, routine blood test, and they found high levels of metals in his blood.
Mm-hmm.
So they were afraid that his hip was leaching
mm-hmm.
and poisoning his blood.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out it wasn't.
Well, that's however, good.
However, that is a real thing. Now, I don't know if it makes you crazy enough people or not. There is such thing as metals leaching off of the artificial hip, and it can be a problem.
Yes. Yes. Does
that? So that's not a made up thing that doesn't happen.
No, but apparently
metal leaching does happen from artificial hips and joints.
And it's making Heather Weather crazy. And
it is making
Twitter was there. Twitter was there to support Mulcahy's knowledge of history, I guess. Because they were like, really, like she was loony before, but she wasn't a killer until 2011.
Exactly what Laura was saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
She was crazy before. She would do crazy things.
She tried to LSD somebody, but wound up taking it herself. Like she
and she all, you know, well, this was the scenario that, and I'm sure you guys in the chat, a lot of you remember this. Heather stole Danny, didn't he? Or tried to switch him with another baby or something?
Mm-hmm.
Because she was one of the last times that she had a large presence on General Hospital, she was after Luke.
Mm.
She was obsessed with Luke.
Right.
And doing crazy things.
Well, who wouldn't
but
be?
But she really wasn't murderous. Not really.
No, she was just loony. Really.
Did she do things that could cause people to possibly die back then? Yes, she did. Did she hook people?
No. No, but she wasn't a serial killer, like Laura
exactly.
said. You know, she did some stuff, but she wasn't a serial killer.
Right. So I think they're laying the groundwork for Heather to get out of jail.
Yeah, I don't, you know, people are like, oh, redemption, how could they? I don't see, you know, just because you have a reason for why you're bad doesn't mean that you're redeemed, you know.
And it doesn't mean that you're going to get out and be good.
Yeah, you know, you could still cause a bunch of problems. Like, she could, like, I don't know what sort of splash or impact she could have beyond, you know, Laura and Kevin at the moment. Because she really doesn't, she doesn't have Franco, she doesn't have Esme, she doesn't have Ryan, she doesn't have ties mm-hmm. to the Cambers right now beyond Ace. So I don't really know what any sort of long-term plans would be with a minorly less crazy Heather.
What they said about her, the closest thing she has to having a relative is Laura, is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I like, it's just, I don't know.
She used to, Heather was married to Jeff.
She was.
That's mm-hmm. why she's a Weber.
Right.
So she was married to Jeff. Rick is Laura's dad, her adoptive dad.
Mm-hmm.
But Rick Weber is Laura's adopted dad. Jeff is her uncle. Once upon a time, Heather was her aunt.
Yes. Yes.
Long decades ago.
Mm-hmm. Decades Heather ago. Tried to jump off the edge of a building with Danny, says Este. So there's that. PJ switched the glasses of LSD iced tea. So she got it, not Diana Taylor.
Yes.
So yeah, she was a goofy foil, like what is it, Days of Our Lives, Susan?
Yeah.
You know, just kind of goofy.
Elvis.
Elvis. Okay, Elvis. We'll figure it all out, Elvis. We're gonna be all right, Elvis.
Yeah. But I think they're laying the groundwork. I think for Heather to get released from prison. I'm all for it because I find her so entertaining.
Yes.
I like it.
I mean, Allie Mills is just a star and a half, isn't she? I mean, even so, we got Heather, right? And then remember the Emmys? Remember Allie Mills at the Emmys with just those ass kicking boots?
Yes.
Just looking like I don't know, man, because you know she's Kevin Arnold's mom.
I know.
You know, like you just when it came, you know, she was that character. I don't even remember her name on the show. She was Mrs. Arnold, but I remember the character though was a housewife in the 60s who was striving so hard for independence and her own self and her own sense of belonging and not just being that 50s housewife, because it was a show about, you know, cultural movement and growth and character arc, and those are the things that I remember about Kevin Arnold's mom, which is not Heather Weber and not Allie Mills.
No.
And so just fascinating, just the fascinating talent of this Emmy winner.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my General Hospital really is just so great.
I've enjoyed it very much.
Like even the other podcasters are loving it.
That's good.
I know, isn't it great?
That's good.
You know, just a bunch of love for General Hospital. Oh man, what's the chat saying about all this stuff, Ma? What do you think they're saying?
Either they're talking about something completely different, or perhaps disagreeing with us. I don't know.
I know. They rarely disagree with us. Leanne says that she's worried Heather's going to steal Ace. Ace has already been stolen, folks. We don't need them stolen much of the times. And it says, yes, the old Heather, and I loved her. Anything Scotty and Tracy for me. So, you know, just a lot of love for yesteryear with older characters from the 80s and 90s from Annette.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. I guess Heather and Scotty used to be very in love.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Scotty's just going to have nothing but women around him. And, Ma, here's the thing. Without Chris and Dan, and now with Mulcahy, who is more plugged into the yesteryear General Hospital, mm-hmm. with Corte, who is the historian, mm-hmm. we might be losing Ambulance Chaser Scotty and might be gaining one that has a little more, I don't know, scruples, or at least a little more impact.
Is it a more, maybe a little more layers?
Layers, have, yeah. Instead, just always trying to get on there. You know?
Yeah. Well, that'd be good. And I think that'd make Ken very happy too.
He would be very happy. And it's not like Ken Trainor isn't a multi-talented, decades-long super stud of soap acting, you know?
Sure.
Just because he's a little eccentric now doesn't mean that he couldn't do it. He probably could.
Oh yeah. Of course they can.
Just crying, you know? I just, you know, like, what if there's another, what if, I don't know, a family member out there, Serena comes back? Do he and Lucy have a kid?
No.
No? Okay. I don't know. Does Lucy have kids?
No, Serena is his kid with her.
Oh, okay. See, I don't. Good. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe then it's perfect for her to come back then, because she's not dead.
Mm-hmm.
Recast Serena, everybody. Bring her on back.
Of course, that's not her bio mother.
Oh, of course not.
Of course not.
Wait, then who's her?
It goes without saying, doesn't it?
Who's her actual parents then?
Huh?
Who's her actual parents then?
I think Cody's mama. What's up?
Oh, I see. Listen, I don't know.
What the heck was her name, you guys?
Shoot, I help us out, chat. But I know you're talking about what's his name and what's her name and those two people, Dominique.
Yes, Dominique.
Dominique Stanton.
Dominique.
So, oh, got it. Oh, okay. That's okay. Then yes. That's why Scotty originally had a problem with Cody when he first came into town, is because of the connection to Serena.
Yes.
What are you doing here? What are you after? I don't trust you. You're lying. You're after something. Yeah, I remember. I remember. Yeah. I don't know, Ma. So, you know, if Marshall's on the way, I worry for people like Cody. But then also at the same time, Cody's like standing really close to Olivia in the preview pictures. And I just don't know what the future is.
Oh, I don't know either, because they're, you know, obviously things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously things are changing. Yeah, I think we are going to see a little handful of characters not be on the show anymore.
So we're
and I think we're going to see a handful of characters, new characters arrive.
I don't know. When it comes to that, I don't know. It depends on plans and availability and willing to recast, and you know, I don't know. Goodness, it's such an exciting thing to think about. There's a couple of options, you know. There could be some sort of sudden natural disaster. Maybe a number of characters will find a reason to leave town. Maybe a number of characters will find themselves so embroiled in what's happening here with Jason's return that they'll wind up arrested and taken away forever. Or Finn was just on the phone with a fellow doctor who was dealing with a disease outbreak. Could this outbreak find its way to Port Charles?
It could. It could. It's been a while since they've had a toxic sphere.
Well, it's been a long time since they've had like a city-spanning hospital story. And because it's, I personally feel it's because it's hard to do that without it being some sort of mass illness.
Mm-hmm.
And mass illnesses for, you know, a good long time have been fairly uncomfortable. But it's been a good solid year since COVID has taken over our headlines. And so maybe it's time for an encephalitis or a something. Monkeypox. I don't know. You know, something.
Something.
Dominique.
Yep, Dominique.
Thank you very much, Chad, for making sure that we knew.
Dominique was so beautiful. She had the most beautiful long hair.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, Dominique was very pretty.
I'm going to look up a picture right now, then.
Very pretty. Very, very pretty. Yep.
Dominique Stanton. Ooh, I knew a dude named Dominique once.
Yeah, you did.
I did. He was a good guy. Good guy. Enjoyable. Enjoyed the Navy.
Yep. I remember him.
Mm-hmm.
He's tall and good looking, too.
So tall. My goodness. He was like 6'3", Ma. Uh-huh. If not more.
He's tall and good looking guy, too.
She did have really long hair. Just long, like chestnut.
Yes.
Just healthy, shiny, like Garnier Fructis commercial. I'm going to remember the where I don't know how old this commercial is anymore. It's got to be at least 20 years where the model who's not like Cindy Crawford, but kind of resembles her, walks up and she's hot and sweaty and like orders a drink. And then one of her friends runs up and ties her hair to the bar post. And as she turns to leave, she just rips it off and it doesn't hurt her hair at all because it's so strong and healthy.
I remember that silly old commercial.
Yes, that is Dominique's hair.
It's Dominique's hair. I told you. Oh, my gosh.
Dominique is Serena's mom. Thank you, Kelly. Morgan will come back, Annette wants. Morgan will come back and claim Avery. Apparently, Annette thinks that Morgan is Avery's dad and not Sonny.
I don't know if it could be.
I guess the timeline syncs because Morgan died and then Sonny immediately got in there.
Pretty much.
See, any number of things is possible. Can you imagine?
I've seen all over social media that Morgan's coming back.
Well, his show got canceled is the thing.
I know.
The thing that was keeping the actor, supposedly keeping the actor away, his show Good Trouble is no longer on, which actually the dude across the hall, he was on that show. He was an extra on it. Anyway, so done, gone, that show's over. And so, you know, I guess technically the actor might be available. Is he interested? Does he have other jobs lined up? Does GH have an interest in Morgan? I don't have the answer to these questions.
I think it would be kind of cool for him to come back.
Do I have an interest in Morgan? Not really, but I don't know Morgan.
You didn't watch him, huh?
I didn't watch him at all. I just kind of know his face. And I'm like, really, that guy, huh? Just because he just in my mind's eye of a Morgan did not match the actor. And it's
really?
Not a hateful statement or anything like that. It's not like he's ugly or doesn't fit or anything. He's just I just didn't picture him. You know, I just didn't picture.
Sure, everybody has a mind's eye of what a character looks like if you've not seen it.
Yeah, I understand that the Corinthos DNA is very strong, but I didn't expect it to I didn't think that Morgan, given him his status for so long as being the only kid between Sonny and Carly, I figured they would pick an actor that resembled a blend of them a little bit more.
Well, if you see him on screen, you will see a little more blend than what you are currently when you actually, you know, see him as Morgan. Because, yes, he has some dark features like Sonny.
Mm-hmm.
But he has an elongated face, like Carly, and he has blue eyes.
Oh, he has
light eyes.
Okay, I can't recall.
Morgan has light eyes, but with dark hair. And a little bit of a olive tone to his skin, a little bit.
Well, if this actor, I don't know his name, but if he's on his way back, if Morgan's on his way back, cool. I have seen a lot of speculation, like you said, online. I've also heard some rumblings from my sources in the background that Morgan's name has come up a couple of times. Whether or not that's going to lead into any result, I don't know. But it goes to show that the series has not forgotten about the character.
Right.
So who knows? Who knows what the future is? Let me tell you, folks, I don't know, okay?
I certainly don't
know. I want everybody to make sure, you know, because, you know, people on Twitter or social media and stuff, they'll make up whatever it is that they think is true about somebody that puts themselves out on YouTube to talk about General Hospital. Protecting access and kissing butts of shows to make sure that they like us and all that. Listen, folks, if we were playing the game like that, we would have a guest every 3 weeks. If we were plugged in, if we had access,
we
would have Robert Gossett on here because we would have John Lindstrom on here. You know, we would have these actors that we love to talk about to talk to. So don't get it twisted. We don't know schnit.
No, we don't. No, Brian, we just speculate with you guys.
Brian Craig is the guy's name.
Yep, Brian. Yes.
Daisy thinks that Morgan is dead. There's no way Morgan is dead.
I don't believe that anybody's dead on General Hospital, especially if they don't show a body bag. It's just, they're just dead.
And even then, they could have buried guns.
Yeah.
Like in Terminator 3.
You just, with soap operas, and you know, and since this new writing team is so retrospective and likes to go back, you know, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
There's a bit surprised. Just in this little brief thing, we've seen so much reaching into the back. Okay, we've got a little bit of an awakening. And I want to say awakening, but we have story being informed by J-Sam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sam's reaction to Jason's return and Dante getting shot. It's very tied into her history that she's had with Jason.
Mm-hmm.
She even said, like, hey, I never really stopped loving the dude. It wasn't going to work forever. I don't want him to have shot Dante. This sucks for me. You know, like,
sure.
The you know, she has some informed battle inside of her, but also at the same time,
regardless of how she feels about him, even she would never want Danny's father to hurt Rocco's father.
Oh, absolutely not. And she doesn't want that for Jason either. You know,
she doesn't want Jason to be
a cold-blooded killer who would kill people that he loves like Dante. You know, she doesn't want that for him. She doesn't want that for her life. But also at the same time, she hasn't really changed her stance hardcore. What she told Sonny on Monday, which was, when you find out who this person is, I think you understand what I want you to do with him.
Yeah. She's pretty clear about that.
Yeah, get it. Damn, get it. But now it's Jason. All right, and then as I understand, they had somebody, might have been Dex, somebody was on Stephen Bradford's pod.
Okay.
I don't remember who it was, but it was somebody recent. Oh, it was Michael, it was Chad Jewell. He was on there.
Okay.
And I guess in little laughter, haha, banter, Chad said something like, well, maybe one day when you return to working for Sonny. So it seems as though whatever rift exists between Sonny and Jason may continue persisting through. So long as those actors weren't just being silly.
I wouldn't be surprised. And I really have been surprised with how quickly Sonny he has never second-guessed Jason like he has now.
Mm-mm.
He's really second-guessing Jason and thinking
how to be loyal.
Right. He's really second guessing. He never second guessed it. Never second guessed Jason in the past. And he also says, and he said it before, and he said a couple times, Jason never misses. Well, then he can't be the shooter, can he?
No, because he's missed you twice, Sonny.
Exactly. Well, and Sonny says himself that Jason never misses.
But he didn't miss Dante. Shot the heck out of according to Sonny, shot the heck out of Dante.
Right.
Oh, goodness gracious. Thank you very much.
I was really surprised at how quickly he is second guessing Jason.
You know.
But when a lot of other people aren't, like, well, Carly, of course. And I was kind of surprised. Weren't you guys a little bit surprised that Drew dumped Carly so quick?
That's actually the yes or no question. Were you surprised that Drew dumped Carly? Might as well just give you the answer right now. And this poll was sponsored by Kelly Publicover for her super chat contribution that she just made. And YouTube wanted me to recognize the fact that this is her fifth super chat contribution. So thank you very much, Kelly, for your
generosity.
week over week. Thank you. Oh, gosh, you're just talented children behind you, mother.
Oh, those are two gymnasts right there.
Just talented beyond all belief. But 76%. Of people said, no, I'm not surprised that Drew did this.
I wasn't surprised he broke up with her. I was surprised he broke up with her so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised he broke up with her right out the gate.
Before there was even a possibility that Carly was going to pick somebody else over him. He's like, I'm not even going to make it hard for you.
I'm out.
Yeah.
But everything Drew said is true, though.
It's totally true. 100,000,000%
everything Drew said is so true. 100%
true.
Yeah.
Stephanie wasn't surprised.
Said, it doesn't mean that you didn't love Sonny. Doesn't mean that you didn't love Jax. Doesn't mean that. Mm-mm. It means that. And what he said is true. It's just Jason is number one.
Mm-hmm.
But we know just from what we've seen just this week, Jason got a whole passel of secrets.
He got a lot going on over the last couple of years.
He's had a lot going on the past couple of years.
Even Michael's like, where'd you get that ink?
I know. I was really, really, really wondering, you know, what was General Hospital going to do about this tattoo? I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean, I know I see a lot of people online saying, who cares? Well, we don't. Not
but
really.
It's such a big piece that you can't ignore it.
Exactly. It's such a big piece.
It's not like getting a little symbol on your forearm or something on your shoulder. This is almost a sleeve.
It's a sleeve. So they can't leave him with his jacket on till the end of time.
No.
And it's just too big and distracting, not to say nothing.
Well, it goes down into his forearm, too. So even when he's wearing his black shirt, you're going to be able to see some of it.
Yes. Yes. If he has a black t-shirt on, you're going to see. And when he has his arm up like this,
mm-hmm.
he has his arm up like this, the whole, I believe it's the back. But it's
risky, Ma. It's super risky. It is a risky decision to make as an actor. And it's indicative to Steve Burton, in my opinion, settling into General Hospital with nothing else in his sights. Movies, TV, you know, short run series, special events, not in his mind. And here's why. Name modern day, not Danny Trejo from 20 years ago, not that guy who played Manny on General Hospital, but an actor that's come around today that is loaded with tats.
Yeah, not a lot of people.
None. And it's because tattoo artists have positioned themselves to wanting a cut of royalty for their art being on television.
Oh.
And so in order to avoid in all of that artistic ownership hullabaloo, no tattoos. If you have one, it's got to be covered by clothing or by makeup, if you can. You can't cover Steve Burton's.
No, it's too.
The whole point is it limits his.
But it would take forever every day. Forever.
It limits his other options and opportunities outside of General Hospital, which knows and sees the value of Steve Burton. What's going on back there with the kids?
They don't listen good.
Hmm. I see.
You guys, shut the door.
Oh gosh. It's they're getting old enough to not listen.
You better believe they're getting old.
They're getting old enough to not listen. Oh, look, there goes Grandpa to go set it, to go slam that door and say, "Listen up, kids, listen up. All right, it's me, Grandpa." You lay down while you sit and you watch these cartoons.
Right?
Oh, gosh. It's just a house full of family is what it is. Well, why are they there? Is it because you guys are doing a St. Patrick's event?
Yeah, we're doing a St. Patrick's thing. I got corned beef going in the crock pot already.
Nice. Maybe, oh gosh, they probably don't have corned beef in that at the grocery store anymore, do they?
I bet they do.
Maybe I'll rush over and see if they got any.
I bet they got plenty.
I gotta check it out, see what's going on. Maybe I should throw some in the crock pot when I'm done.
That's what I did. I just threw it in. I threw it in there real quick. I have to add the other stuff to it later, but I threw like the corned beef itself, a little chicken broth, and a bunch of onions in there, and started it.
Deep fried onion rings.
Well, I left it in onion rings, but they're not breaded onion rings.
Yeah, I know. Oh goodness.
So, I was just wondering what they would do about the tattoo. It looks like they're going to address the tattoo to some degree.
Because yeah, he might have a long story associated. I got it because I needed to prove to these guys that we did it to protect the person from the RICO charges, whoever this person may be.
Yeah, so I was just really curious what they would do. You know, I mm-hmm. thought, you know, I was kind of like a 50-50. They're going to either address it and make it part of story somehow, or they're going to just pretend they're blind.
Well, it's they're not pretending they're blind. Exist. Looks like they're folding it into the story itself.
Well, and I think you're right, though, Matt. I think, you know, I think Steve Burton went through a lot, especially, you know, around the time that he left GH.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't but maybe 3 or 4 months before that he had left GH that it was known to all of us that he and Cherie were getting a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And that they had, you know, and it was public that she was pregnant and it wasn't his baby. And we don't know how that happened. You know, they split up for a solid year before that we ever found out about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they hadn't been living in the same home for a year. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Or maybe she was slipping on her husband. Who knows? We don't know.
Knows.
Honestly, when it comes right down to it, our business.
Not really. But yeah, it's just like
any kind of garbage I got going on in my life. Well, Steve Burton don't need to know about that either.
It's like Steve Burton is, I don't know this man. I've never had a conversation with him. Don't take this as if he's really feeling this. This is just my reaction. He recognizes that General Hospital is home.
He feels like he's home there. I think he always felt that way. I don't think he ever wanted to leave, but I think he wanted to stand on his principles and, you know, and what he believed.
Just never cheated on me like my wife.
You know, and I think he wanted, you know, how he felt about the shot is the way he felt about the shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, he waited and he said from the very get-go that, you know, if policies ever change, and I can come home. I want to come home.
Yeah, and they did.
He said that from the very beginning.
We said from the moment they said Steve Burton is no longer on the show that we're like, we're just waiting for COVID to be over. He'll be right back. We've been saying it from the beginning. It's not a surprise to anybody.
All Disney's policies just had to change, and they did.
Leanne wonders what the reaction will be when he finds out about Brit and Epiphany. We got to spread it out. We can't just tell him everybody's dead.
I know. They already told him Bobby's dead. Mm-hmm. That broke his heart.
He got two reactions to that.
We did.
You got it with Carly and you got it with Michael, too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Wait till he finds out Epiphany's gone. Oh, goodness.
Blink thinks that whoever Stone is has Morgan.
I think Stone and Morgan could be the same.
The same person. I don't know, because there's a whole big question now hanging over the head of one John Jagger Cates.
Mm-hmm.
Is he been as honest as it would seem? Does he have deep secrets beyond what it is that we know? Or is all of this stuff genuinely what he was talking about? Fighting bad guys, capturing people, bringing them to justice, and using a new tool along the way.
He knew Jason was alive.
Yes, but that doesn't necessarily make him a bad guy. Here's the big issue, Ma. Who if this wasn't General Hospital, if General Hospital had been following the heart and the life of Sonny Corinthos as it had for the last 20 years, who would be the good guy and who would be the bad guy? Sonny would be the bad guy and the cop would be the good guy. The only reason Jagger is considered potentially villainous is because he's going after Sonny. Now, here's the thing, though. People are getting shot. He is executing folks. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it was Jason didn't shoot Olivia Jerome because he just came to town. There's too many angles. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know either. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's actually, you know, there's stuff that we don't know that are going to be revealed. We don't, you know, we still don't know who point blank shot, right?
Austin.
Austin.
Now, Austin was all tied into criminality. Austin. Is this all connected? Was that Jagger's first person that they took out was Austin? Because he had just gotten off the witness stand that released Cyrus from prison.
Yeah.
He just did something mafia, organized crime related.
Yeah.
So was he the first?
I loved on Friday when Sonny was exiting and passed by John.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Jagger? You know?
Yeah.
Jagger. Oh, there's no way Sonny's ever. I don't care if the rest of the cast, they decide the rest of the cast is going to call him John. Jagger. There's no way Sonny is ever going to call him John.
I'm not going to do you the respect of calling you the name you want me to call you.
No, he's not. Yeah, you know, it's just going to be to get his goat, too. It's just going to be to get his goat. Just kind of like Uncle Luke used to always call Carly Caroline. Well, toward the end, it was kind of an endearment thing. You know, it was.
But at first, it was the antagonizer.
In the beginning, it was an antagonizer.
Yeah, you don't like the name Caroline, so I'm going to call you Caroline instead of Carly like you want.
Mm-hmm.
They can't undead stone. No, they certainly can't undead stone. Jeannie, you're totally right. If there's one character that's never going to be resurrected, it is Stone. Would undo the map-making storyline of General Hospital's history.
And there's no way the writers would even want to do that. It wouldn't touch it. Actually, it would be so disrespectful.
Yeah.
It really would.
It would. Austin's story went flat. What a shame for Roger. Roger had to leave. Roger was done. They were moving on to other things.
Shut the door, girl! Thank you!
What did Julian used to call Ned? Something. What did he call him? Julian used to call Ned something.
Oh, he would call him everything but Ned. He would call him Ted.
Ed, Bed, Shed.
He would call him Ted a lot.
Ted.
Called him Ted a lot.
It was Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Donny Osmond. I think of Donny Osmond, says Este. Donny Osmond's song, Pretty Blue Eyes. When she sees Jagger on the screen.
I am a huge Donny Osmond fan, and I do not know that song.
Ooh, Pretty Blue Eyes.
Pretty Blue Eyes, Donny Osmond. And I had all those albums when I was a kid.
Mm.
I did. I'm gonna put a knot on a couple of heads.
Yeah. So you know what's unfortunate, Mother, is that these children are proving that we cannot trust them. While you podcast.
I know.
And at the very least, there's, I would say my suggestion would be, hey, kids, there's no reason for you to be upstairs.
Yeah, I might have to do that next time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they not trust. They trustworthy.
They just want to be stars. That's all. Anyway. They just want to be stars. We'll give them one episode, 15 mm-hmm. minutes, for them to just do whatever kid stuff they like. And that's it.
Now, Scarlett, get out of here and stay gone.
Blink used to love Julian. Jeannie loved David Cassidy. So there you go. Well, there you go. The never-ending war, David Cassidy versus Donny Osmond. Who's going to be on the cover of the magazine this week?
Tiger Beat.
Teen Beat has Donny Osmond. Tiger Beat has David Cassidy. Which one am I going to buy? I've only got 15 cents. I can't have them both.
They were more than 15 cents.
Oh, I'm sorry. This was at 1927. My bad.
No, my bad. It's like 1975.
I don't have $5.99. I have $5.99. I can only have one of them. Which pull-out poster means the most to me? They want to see Uncle Matt. Aw, Kelly. I wish that was true.
They did want to see Uncle Matt.
No. Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. What were we talking about? Where are my notes?
We were talking about Sonny and Jagger.
Oh, yeah. Jagger, Sonny, walk by. Jagger. Never going to call him John Cates, no matter what. I just don't know what's going on with that. I find myself having more difficulty podcasting about a show that I don't know the direction of.
Yeah, we don't know the direction.
I can't get on the speculation train because any number of cool things could be true. You know, I would get excited because I would come up with a good idea. But then, like, now we've got people who are probably going to come up with better ideas than me. So, you know... I don't know how to do this.
Well, I think in the next couple of weeks, we're all going to get a little story on what's been happening with Jason. I think little by little, it's not going to be a huge, long monologue.
No.
Puzzle piece by puzzle piece, we're going to find out where he's been. And it might even create some havoc between he and Carly.
I don't know. So, you know, the battle lines have been drawn. There are two, you know, pretty much two armies being recruited on the side of and against Jason. You know, you got Carly, Michael, Willow on one side. You got Drew, Sonny, Lois, I guess, Ava on the other. You know, where's Dante going to ride? He was shot and saved. You know, Sam is on team anti-Jason. Jake and Danny are probably going to find themselves on opposite sides. You know, I just, who knows? Who knows what the future is? We have to do this right now, though, because all morning long, literally all morning long, the only thing that Blink FM has wanted to talk about is Maxie's sweater. This is the most important thing in Blink's life. They have mentioned it. Like clockwork every 10 minutes. So we got to get to it, Ma. I need you to rip this sweater to shreds so Blink will be happy.
I would love to. I would love to. She looks like Beetlejuice. A poor, stripped down Beetlejuice. It's what she reminds me of. That sweater reminds me of. I know it's fashion. I understand. But I don't like it. I don't like it. I think the sweater is ugly on a mannequin. I think the sweater is ugly on Maxie. I think the sweater is supposed to be stylish and tattered and look like that. It looks to me like it would be something that the Goodwill put in the burn pile.
this is too worn out for us to resell. Oh, Fenella's on the way out. She's trying to go.
Oh, she's trying to fall again.
She's trying to chase down the criminal. She's popping in the room with Jagger at her side.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that sweater either. It's got to go. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of most of the things that they dress Maxie in. I'm typically not much of a fan of anything they dress Sam in. However, currently, I think it's been far better.
Yeah.
Currently.
Yeah.
I think that the fact that they put Sam in some color last week and had some pink on her and some spring kind of, you know, that were show you that spring is coming.
She doesn't need to be.
I like the high waisted fitted pants with the wide legs on Sam. I think her body's perfect for it. But some of the stuff they put her in the past, I thought was ugly.
Well, she's been black jeans, black t-shirt kind of person too.
Yes. My favorite ones, who I think they dress the best, is I usually love what Olivia has on.
Mm-hmm.
I typically, not 100% of the time, but very often I like what Ava has on. I think they do, wardrobe does not do Maxie any favors. And I also don't think that wardrobe does a whole lot for a Jeannie Francis Laura either.
Maybe that's just what they want to wear. Maybe that's what they're comfortable
in. It could be. It could be because, you know, that sweater that's so hideous, mm-hmm. we saw it about a year ago. And I remember it because I hated it then, too.
But you know what, Ma? That thing looks awfully comfortable. It is worn in.
People find something comfortable that doesn't have big wide stripes, big wide horizontal stripes. And you could also find something comfortable that doesn't look like it has moth holes in it.
Right. 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 Yeah. Kaiwan mentions the physical change of Kristen Storms over the last couple of years. And not all of that 100% Kaiwan, in case you're unaware, is tied into medical challenges and difficulties and medications that that Kristen Storms has to take to keep those issues at bay.
I can almost guarantee.
It's not meatloaf, it's steroids, you know?
Yeah, I can almost guarantee you. I can guarantee you this girl is on some steroids. She looks like she's taking prednisone to me. I have had to take it in my past.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's a miracle drug. I'm sure some of you have taken it, prednisone. It's a miracle drug. But at the same time, it's got some nasty side effects.
Yeah. So I'm happy that, you know, she has the energy and the focus and the health to continue to be on the show, because I do enjoy Maxie. I think Maxie's a really great, versatile character. And when she's with Spinelli, she is no better. That stuff in the car on Monday was just so joyful.
It great.
Just made me feel so happy. Not because, oh, Maxine's, I didn't see them the first time. I just think that they're cute together, you know? So, you know, all that, ooh, Spixie. Like, I don't have memories. I know what they did, but I don't have the emotional connection. So this is where I'm going to have it. I just have always liked Maxine. I've always liked Spinelli. So they were just super adorable in that car. Their banter was amazing.
I always thought I loved Spinelli and Maxie together. I always have. They never really really made it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They always had obstacles, and they never really they never moved in together. They were a couple, but they were always just almost a couple, but almost not a couple kind of thing. And you know, I love Spinelli because he loves his Maximista so much.
Yes. Blink immediately wants to flush it down the toilet by bringing Nathan back. Blink, come on. Blink, let them have at least 5 minutes.
Well, you know, I always say that you never know what General Hospital's going to do. Nathan was, even though we never saw him in a bag, we did see him pretty dead.
We saw him very dead. Like, we saw him die in front of Maxie.
On the floor of the Crimson, right?
No. That was what's-her-name. Like, he didn't die there. He died in the hospital. He woke up, had one final conversation with Maxie. It seemed like everything was going to be okay, and then code blue, flatline, gone.
They just kept on going back to Crimson and showing the blood spot on the ground.
Yeah, because Faison had shot him, and it was a big deal.
Faison had shot him.
And all that kind of stuff. See, I didn't have a big emotional connection to Nathan either, because I started watching Hardcore when he was exiting. I saw his death, but when it comes to like his whole romance with Maxie, I didn't see it. I thought he was, you know, an adorable looking dude who always stuck his hands in his pockets. You know, that's the only thing that I know about Nathan.
They could bring him back some crazy way, though.
Oh,
you
could
know,
totally bring him back.
But his mom is.
I'm going to disagree with. I'm going to disagree with Blink, though. I don't think if Nathan comes back, that's the end of Spixie. All right, Spinelli came before Nathan. I don't care how much you love that guy.
But when it comes to historically, though, Maxie's most successful, least complicated, most successful relationship was with Nathan.
Well, then leave him dead.
It was. His most successful was with Nathan. That was when she was the happiest and remained happy for a more continuous time. But at the same time, though, you know, when soap operas, you guys, happiness, what happens with happiness? Well, boredom sets it.
Yeah, exactly. You got to keep it mixed up and exciting, you know.
Shut the door!
There needs to be a threat in their lives or a threat to their relationship. But they can't just be sitting around playing checkers.
No.
You know? You know, like we, you know, you get a cool couple of scenes, you know, a New Year's scene, a 4th of July scene, a Valentine's scene, like Sam and Dante, you know, when things are going well, you're not seeing their every single day life of them together. But when they're facing challenges, you see that relationship.
Yes.
Oh, what about Ava's brother? Is he really dead? Yeah. Unfortunately, here's the thing. Julian, Jerome, and Will DeVry are different people. Julian Jerome may come back to the show. It seems as though Will DeVry and General Hospital did not separate on the happiest of notes. So I don't know what sort of future there is there.
I got the impression as well.
You know, and it could be nothing more than just, I want to continue and you don't want me. You know, nothing, mm-hmm. nothing beyond that. Of mm-hmm. just wanting to continue the opportunity and the show going, no, we're done with Julian. But it didn't seem like it was the happiest of splits. And so I just don't know what sort of interest level there even is on that. Not saying that it wouldn't happen, couldn't happen, or mm-hmm. anything like that. I just don't know where they are. I don't know if the name Julian has come up like it has Morgan when it comes to...
Oh, Morgan's come up a few times.
Yeah.
It has.
Well, even in the conversations with the characters, he's come up as well. Not enough for me to say, oh, he's on his way back. But we haven't forgotten.
And we don't know who Dex is somebody as well. We're going to mm-hmm. find out Dex is somebody other than Dex.
Right. We're about to find that out. He is, for me, he leaves, right, because of the Sunny situation.
Mm-hmm.
Jocelyn essentially convinces him to come back. And as soon as he sees that Jason is back in town, he gets super squirrely and wants to leave again. He hasn't mentioned it. He's not, oh, because Jason's back, I gotta leave, you know, but his like initial like, well, maybe I could try to make it, is gone again, and he's like, I gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another thing. Jason has been working for a private military contractor.
Yes.
Where did Michael find Dex? With a private military contractor.
Oh, I didn't think about that. You're right.
It's entirely possible that he knows Jason from some sort of thing, some sort of past, some sort of previous
mission.
And
he could. Well, he would
Jason
think...
could have even sent Dex to Michael because Michael was poking around looking to hire somebody. And Jason found out, said, Dex, you need to do this.
Could be.
It's entirely
could
possible.
Could be. Could be. Could be. I know that there's just, you know, there's just going to be all kinds of new stuff going on. And honestly, I think we got a couple of like, you know, surprises coming.
Oh, definitely. We're going to find out Dex's dad and he's somebody in town. He's Jagger. He's Jason. He's AJ's. He's somebody's.
He's somebody's.
He's somebody's.
Definitely.
He's somebody's and he knows it.
Yes. Yes.
I guess Jocelyn and Jocelyn pretty much dumped him too at the end of the week, didn't he? Didn't she?
Kind of, sort of, but you know, Dex was being dirty. Okay, he knew he was going to leave again. First thing he has to do is, oh, well, let me hit that one last time
again,
right?
Again, and maybe this is character trait, Mom. Maybe he isn't as like, oh, Josh, you're so wonderful as he's been saying.
Yeah, perhaps.
Maybe he's just hitting that, you know. While he's doing his other dirty business, he could be a triple agent.
He could be.
For all we know. You know, this could be big deal for Dex.
He could be a double-crossing triple agent.
Yeah. With 4 houses and 5 cars.
Exactly.
6 kids. Blink thinks I'm right. I don't know what they think I'm right about, but thanks, Blink. Jeannie's okay if Dex is Jason's.
Oh, me too. Me too. Jason's not going to be this. Is he going to be the same old Jason in some regards? Absolutely. But he's going to be a little different.
He's not going to be Mafia Jason anymore, I don't think.
No. Nope. I think he's going to be a little more fascinating.
We tried to save you. So here's the thing. I think Sunny even said it this week already. It may be less about Jason being gone and forgetting how to be loyal. Or maybe he did forget how to be loyal by marrying Carly and then disappearing for a couple of years. It might not just be, I couldn't find him, he never called me. It could be, he didn't look hard enough for me when they thought I was dead. He didn't pick up on Nina being suspicious. He married Carly. He hasn't called me in a couple of years. This could be 5 years of Sunny thinking about, well, he didn't do this, and this is different, and this changed, and this. He's forgotten how to be loyal to me. I've lost him.
Be the first time.
Yeah.
be the first time that somebody did that, really.
Yep. Yep. Oh, well, Kelly, are you watching a different show than us? Kelly says that Dex found out that his dad is Mac. I think you're conflating Dex with Cody.
Yeah.
In that word. Cody. Because Cody for sure is Mac's kid. We're just waiting on John J. York, who apparently is still doing very well in his treatments, to come on back to GH to continue that story. We're certainly waiting.
Yeah.
Melissa's here. Who else showed up that I didn't read? Melissa, Sandra, Jeannie, Lily. I think that's it. Anybody else? Say hey. Say hi. Say hi.
Hi, you guys.
Hi, everyone. Hello. Welcome. Welcome to the show. What else do we need to cover before we call it quits and you can go be a grandma again? The cops have RICO charges on Carly, suggests Melissa. It's either Carly or Michael. One of the two. Probably Carly. The predominant theory out there is that it's RICO charges from her being the leader of the mafia for that short amount of time while Sonny was away. Because it was
very short-lived, but...
Well, in that time, though, she blew up Cyrus's shipment.
Yeah.
She got married, I don't know. She kidnapped Cyrus's mom and hid her away.
Yeah.
On top of then after leaving the mafia, she got caught doing insider trading. So all of these things added together could be enough RICO violations for them to say 20 years for that lady. I think it's more likely than Michael. I don't know really exactly what they would catch Michael on. And I also don't know what Jason would give years of his life to if it wasn't for Carly.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have been Sam. And it's certainly not his kids, because his kids probably don't have RICO charges.
Mm-mm.
Kelly's doing a Zoom with Mac and Felicia in July, so look cool. forward to that in a couple of months. We just saw it looked like Sandy's not a naughty and nice list. Your list we just saw looked like Sandy's naughty and nice list. My list that they just saw. I don't know what you mean, Kelly. Sorry. We got to talk about Finn and Elizabeth and Jake and Danny, and I think that'll be it.
Okay.
Finn and Elizabeth, adorable. Absolutely never better. Monday was insanely good.
I think it was good, too. And I think that since they are showing us that Finn and Elizabeth are so happy, there's something going, Wrench is going to get in there.
Unless they're getting married.
Maybe Hayden's on her way back or something.
I don't know. It's possible that they're just in a good spot and this is a good developing relationship that will lead to a marriage that will lead to drama. I don't know. But things are good. Things are progressing. It might not be riddled with angst, but it's riddled with development. They went from like, we're attracted to each other, to we're a good team, to we're boning in the shower, to now you are starting to really interact with my kids.
Yes, and do father kind of stuff.
Hey, what's this, Jake? What's this?
Yeah.
Hey, no judgment, just curious. handled it well. Jake, of course, cannot tell a lie. He's Abraham Lincoln.
No.
Yeah, he lied a little bit.
I thought that they handled that pretty well, even if they, I think they do believe him, but even if they ultimately didn't really believe him, I think they gave him Colin an olive branch to a certain degree of, we'll just test this out,
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought they handled it pretty well. I thought both of them did.
Yeah, they did. They did fantastic. They did, as characters, as parents, as people who are trying to influence the young mind of Jake, excellent job. As actors, excellent job. As script writers, excellent job. Was it a little after school specially? A little bit. But you can only do after school specials when it comes to not smoking. There's no way, even in real life, when you're having a conversation with your kids about not smoking, there's no way for you to not say things like, well, just don't do it. Say no. It's unhealthy. It leads to can't. Like, there's no way to not be a Saturday, afternoon special about it. So you can expect that a little bit when it comes to the conversation, the things they're talking about, the tonality. Well, what if, now he's just mad at me. I didn't stop him from doing it. I just damaged our relationship. It's a little on the nose, but it's a real thing. It's a real observation. It's a real fear that somebody might have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all for it. I'm with it. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Covering for Danny. Danny was decent, you know, during the week as well. You know, that kid's warming up.
Yeah.
You know,
Danny was Danny's excited about his dad. Very excited about his dad. Yeah. So I think if we're going to have a split, it is going to be Team Danny is going to be
pro Jason.
And Jake's going to be pissed at him.
Yeah, like I said a couple of weeks ago, I think they really set the foundation for that, even if it was unintentional, when it came to Charlotte shooting, because Danny was like, I need to rush in there and protect everybody. I feel so bad that I allowed this to happen. And Jake was like, guns need to be melted.
Yeah.
So, you know. they're setting up Danny versus Jake on multiple levels, says Michelle. I don't know what the multiple levels would be, but at least... maybe Goody Two Shoes versus more rebellious, you know. Here's the thing, all right, Ma. This is just striking my brain right now, so it's undeveloped. Sam keeps on talking about, oh, Danny, you take after Jason, you take after Jason, you take after Jason, you take after Jason. He was drawn to danger. He wanted to, you know, his life wasn't as valuable as the people that he loved. You know, he snuck off to get information about things that he thought he needed to know more information about. You know, that sort of stuff. He is Jason Morgan. Jake might turn out to be Jason Quartermain. Honest. True.
Yes.
Hardworking. You know, he's loyal. You know, new Jason Small. You know what I mean? All of these not edgy traits. Yes. So that might be.
Yeah, one, you know, be... prior to bump on the head.
Yeah. One's before the bump, the other one's after the bump.
Yeah.
That might be interesting. That might be interesting. That might be what they're setting up. And that could then give us that AJ Jason, you know.
And out of the two of them, you know, Elizabeth, has she been perfect? No. But she hasn't been, is out there living on the rails like Sam was once upon a time.
No. I recognize that, you know, Elizabeth hasn't always made the right choice in her life. Mm-hmm. She did lie to Drew about him really being Jason when he was Jake, you know, and that whole convoluted thing. But Jake wasn't around for that.
No.
He was dead.
No.
So he missed Elizabeth doing that. And then when it comes down to it, when she helped Nicholas hide Esme in the attic, she pretty much finished that and went, hey, police, this is what I did.
Yeah.
So Jake had a positive example of what to do from Elizabeth in that situation. On top of them showcasing time and time again that Elizabeth is an effective and attentive mother.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, that's good. That's good. Jake and Danny are forming a dichotomy, says Melissa. That's one of them $15 words. thinking that will make them have differences in morals and gray areas as they grow. This will, period. I don't know what that means. they're both experiencing the same things, but differently.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. Jake just doesn't know that, Jake didn't happen across shot Jason. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens if that happens. Oh, Stephanie really likes what I said. Well, thank you very much, Stephanie. Make sure that the writers know that I said it, and maybe they'll work it into the show.
And so what else do we need to talk about?
I wanted to talk about Finn and Liz, but we did. I mean, there really wasn't much to say other than they're really nice. Like, if you still have a problem with Finn and Liz, you're just holding on to animosity.
I tell you what Nana did to Gregory in that office. What Nana did to Gregory in Alexis's office. I just wanted to just...
She made a reaction to this, but I don't recall seeing it myself.
Well, because Gregory had his story that it was all marked up because he had just visited Finn.
Right.
Now it doesn't make sense, you guys. I know it doesn't make sense. You know, he made typos. His ability to write is still there. He made typos. He doesn't need his son for that. He could have proofread his own thing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But that's not the way they decided to show.
No, they needed a way to depict how much ALS is affecting Gregory. Is it a little old school? Yes. Sure. You know, if this was like I'm working on a typewriter type of time.
It was,
yes.
It but was with, very old school.
With voice to speech and autocorrect and that kind of stuff and all yes. sorts of accessibility that exists now. Gregory shouldn't be experiencing this. But for the sake of telling Gregory's story, he is.
Right. So Nina gets copy of his story that's all marked up.
Mm-hmm.
She makes some, you know, she insults.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that, well, it's all marked up. And, you know, this person, she implied that they were either illiterate or just, you know, not capable.
Here's my question, and Stephanie asks it well in the chat. Does Nina know that Gregory has ALS? If she doesn't, then she sees a garbage piece of work in front of her and at her newspaper that Alexis is allowing to happen.
Yes. I don't know that she knows. I don't know that she knows, but she was, regardless,
demeaning,
she was being an ass either way.
Demeaning.
Yes.
Insulting.
Yes.
Treating him like an illiterate kindergartner.
Yes. Nina was like, oh.
Well, Nina's villain again. All right. We have jumped off of, is Nina actually the good person? And we are in the land of Nina is the bad guy.
Yeah.
We are firmly in the land of Nina's the bad guy, and you can see it in how she's running the newspaper, this gossip columnist and the redheaded mate, you know, dating the DA and mm-hmm. the smear job,
yes,
of Sunny, you know, mm-hmm. and how, you know, she pretty much is like, don't report on Sunny, which is not how somebody runs a fair and balanced newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this person's just off limits. Don't do it.
Right.
That's not the moral thing,
mm-hmm.
Nina. The way that Nina spoke to Gregory was beyond rude, even in regards to a fully rude. Healthy adult. She spoke to him like a child.
And she talked down to him.
Mm-hmm.
Not only as a, you know, a child, yes, but you don't necessarily talk down to a child. You talk to them in a way that they can understand.
I'll have to go back and
start talking down to them.
Friday,
she talked down to him.
I'll go back and watch.
And
maybe I didn't finish Friday.
And Nina deserves Alexis's foot right in her ass.
No, I did finish Friday because the last thing was Kevin saying that Marshall was misdiagnosed because he was young, poor,
mm-hmm.
angry,
mm-hmm.
and black.
Yes.
Credits.
Yes. Yes. And even though that doctor is dead, they're still going to tell the story.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I'm gonna tell you, folks, and this will be the last thing before we hop on the elevator, because we gotta have something be the last thing. and it was the last thing of the week, so why not? The way that they're handling the acceleration of this storyline worked with this one line and this one line alone, because we really went from we're gearing up to 2 months of hunt and conversation and casting this doctor and a whole big deep mm-hmm. exploration into, oh no, he's dead, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Very obvious. But in Stella's line and Vernet Watson's portrayal of the mm-hmm. answers are in this hospital, right mm-hmm. upstairs in this hospital, carried so much.
Mm-hmm.
What's the right thing? Carried with it so much. The path has been cleared for this thing that we should have always known.
Mm-hmm.
The obstacles in our way have evaporated, and the answers have been right here this whole time. We've never had to look hard. We've never had to be challenged. We've never had to reach beyond what our capabilities of or compromise who we are in order mm-hmm. to get these answers. They have always just been right here. And in the way that it was written and in the way that she performed it, sold that acceleration to me
mm-hmm.
completely. And I know that I'm a dork, but it did. I'm a nerd. I know it. I know it, but it's little things like that. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, I enjoy a good sequence, but give me a good moment.
Mm-hmm.
I live for a good moment. And that's what I got from Renee Watson this week. So, hey, Jakari, yes, you're late. We're getting on the elevator. As Jakari bursts through the stairs.
But I think, you know, I hope that's not the end of the conversation. I hope we hear some more.
I'm sure. I'm sure we will. I'm sure we'll get some reaction. And this, and, you know, if Marshall is on the way out, then this, you know, this could be, hey, you know, I've done what I'm supposed to do. Now I need to go find myself again or something, you know. Maybe Stella will take him to Europe with her, you know, because she's often
going to advocate for others that have been misdiagnosed. Yeah,
you could do a national tour of through hospitals or some sort of mental health agency. Maybe Sonny can create a foundation for him to travel and speak.
Maybe,
and maybe he'll just pop in every once in a while like Stella does. Maybe he and Stella will run off together, realizing that they have unyielding and undying love. Well, and when Stella shows up, Marshall will be there too, and they'll just become a couple package deal. There's any all sorts of maybes.
And Vernay has been in and out of General Hospital for some time now.
Yeah.
We have weeks where we don't see her, and then she pops up and she's in story for a month or so.
Yeah, exactly.
And she
exactly.
takes off to England again.
And goes away for 2-3 months, comes back for a few weeks, maybe a couple of days, leaves. You know, it's very, you know, they do a great job when it comes to the logic of Stella being in town or not.
Right. Now, of course, there are no way is Marshall going to leave without seeing Curtis take his first step.
Oh, absolutely. 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 It's okay, Jakarius. You don't have to apologize. We're always here. Blink agreed. Blink felt it too with Stella. So I'm not alone in being my massive dork about that great moment. So thank you, Blink. Thank you. Okay, that's it. Chandra gave Cheryl chocolate chip cookies. Well, good.
One thing that's kind of interesting is there was a point when they were, there was a mixed group of people and there's no HEPA. I mean, they were just talking about everybody's business right there in front of the elevators, weren't they?
They were. I noticed that too.
Mixed bag of people.
Yeah, well, whatever. Sometimes people just need information somehow.
Yeah, I guess.
They
kind of explained it away with Laura has privy because she's the mayor.
Yeah, this is an active and open criminal investigation. Marshall's automatically thinking he was purposely misdiagnosed, never set well with me. Ask Portia, have you ever been misdiagnosed a person on purpose or MD or maybe because it was a mistake? Ooh, Melissa, you are missing the point of the story. This was so on purpose. This was an egregious abuse of power in order to hold down a minority just because they hated him for being black. That is the story. It's nothing to do with real medical professionals doing the right thing or making a mistake like Finn did for going to trial. This was a person being blatantly assholeless racist and was well known for it. So much so that Kevin was like, oh, that asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. And he didn't feel any kind of remorse or a feeling protective in any way of that gentleman. He's like, let me sit down and tell you.
Mm-hmm. So, there you go. There you go. Why would he be mad about being well? Because he feels like he wasted his life.
Sure.
Because he did. He left to protect his family, and he did not have to miss a second with his boys. He probably feels he could have saved his other kid's life.
Yeah. Yeah. And perhaps his wife wouldn't, you know.
She died of a broken heart, they said, right?
Yes. Maybe it would have even been different with her.
I am sure he carries a bevy. Like learning that, oh, this isn't real. I haven't taken medicine in a year and I've never even seen a flicker of something that might not be legitimate is flipping huge, especially for somebody who's 70.
Right.
Who literally walked away from the life that he loved and wanted to go play the saxophone or clarinet for tips,
right,
in seedy bars his whole life,
right,
until finally he said F this, let me go find my kid, this is sucks. So there is a depth to explore with Marshall and hope that we get it.
I hope so too.
You know, I'm just nervous about the recurring thing, that's all.
Yeah,
Remember that Marshall was doing protests at the time as well, Rachel reminds us. Another key factor as well. I don't know if you were around, Melissa. You probably weren't, but the 60s was a time of incredible upheaval.
Mm-hmm.
Huge upheaval. Deadly upheaval.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, we lost John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, Malcolm X. So many progressive and liberal leaders. Maybe yes. Not so much Malcolm X, but you know, you get my drift.
Yeah.
Progressive and liberal leaders were taken in the 60s for how much power they had, how much good they were doing, how much movement they were creating, and how much education was being spread coast to coast.
Mm-hmm.
And if just imagine what life would be like today if these people were not silenced, like Marshall was. Oh, it's quite the story, and I'm just very curious to see how it all goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's it, everybody. Get on the elevator. We're done. Get on the elevator. Go back down to the first floor. Everything's fine. Dante's okay. He's not out of the woods, but it seems like he's going to be all right.
He's still taking a long nap, but he's okay.
He's not out of the woods, but it seems like he hasn't lost the trail. You know?
No.
Looks like he's on the path to recovery. I got a text from Mom like a week and a half ago. Oh, that's it. Dante's gone. Don't come to us for the news.
It's true. I thought he was going to be dead.
Oh.
I was even on James' show, and I was in the chat, and I said, I think Dante's dead.
He ain't. And just to connect to General Hospital, to Robert Kennedy, apparently Corbin Burnson, who played Carly's bio dad, was in the hotel when RFK was shot.
I do remember hearing him talking about that.
She follows up. He tells the story line. So apparently it's something that he talks about.
And we stayed in the hotel. Remember, Matt?
Did we?
The hotel that we stayed in Hollywood? Where we met little Michael?
That was that one?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that at all. My goodness. I wonder if I felt a spiritual connection to RFK. I felt more, listen, I don't know these people. I wasn't alive. But I was reading, I've read history, I've read articles, I've seen documentaries and stuff. I'm vaguely, you know, I'm not going to say I'm an expert, but I'm somewhat familiar with John and Robert Kennedy. And when it came down to it, I would have voted for Bobby. If they said vote for John, vote for Bobby, I would have voted for Bobby.
I don't know. If he wouldn't have been executed, he would have been president.
He would have been president. He would have been an 8-year strong-ass president.
He was loved like John. Now, I don't remember. John Kennedy was murdered, executed in 1963. I was 2 years old, so of course I don't remember that. But I do remember Bobby being. I do remember that happening to Bobby. I think I was in the fourth grade.
Yeah.
And they announced it in my classroom. They said it in my classroom.
Mm.
Stopped and said that had happened to Robert Kennedy. Mm-hmm.
Well, Melissa says Melissa's writing for the invader now. You heard it here first. Mama Cat tried to sniper Matt out of the RFK hotel. He was saved by Dylan Cash.
There you go.
Writing for the invader, Melissa is. Oh goodness. Hey Michelle, thanks for coming. Just continue to watch the podcast, and we're going to tell you all about General Hospital and all about all sorts of fun American soaps that you might not see in South Africa. Just continue to hang out with us.
Absolutely.
Anyway, folks, out of here. Into the parking garage. We're going to go into their cars, turn our radios to previous episodes of The 10th Floor, which you can find on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. If you can't find it on your favorite podcasting platform, you can reach out to me on Twitter at 10th Floor GH, and I will send you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
While you're there, you can go ahead and follow us there and on Instagram as well. Don't use it as much, but we're there. Facebook, all of that. Follow us on those socials. Get some info. Of pictures, maybe a game or two, who knows, but you can join the chat that we have all week long on Days of Our Lives in General Hospital on Twitter. We're gonna be back next week.
Mm-hmm.
9 a.m for Days for Dummies. I think my mom is gonna be back on that show.
Yes, I am.
And then 11 a.m right here again for 10th Floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Go spend some time with your families. I've been Matt.
I've been Kat.
And we'll catch you next time right here on the 10th floor. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.